Welcome to episode 64 of the Golf Talk podcast, brought to you by thesamtrap.com. This is Eric Barzeski. Joining me this week, Jack, instead of Jeff. Jeff has the week off. Jack, of course, had the week off last week. So,
hey, welcome from New Jersey and the hottest spot in the nation, I think.
AT&T National, it was up in the 90s, and it was only in the 80s here. And today it crept up into the 90s here in Erie, Pennsylvania. KJ Choi sweated one out. Really didn't have much to fear, though, as a bunch of people fell out. But Choi completing the greatest player ever to have lived sweep.
I guess he
probably would have had to win the Masters, actually, for that.
What a year he's having. And, you know, how can you deny him the fact that he's just playing so wonderfully? But what a debacle that last round at Congressional was over the weekend. Eric, I mean, it was hard to watch. It was like watching, I keep saying this, it was like watching a train wreck, but that really was a train wreck.
Even KJ Choi's final round 68 included a four-hole stretch that included the three bogeys. 10 through 13, he went bogey, bogey, birdie, bogey. So
it wasn't pretty. Yeah.
Steve Stricker had a chance to win, but finished with, he started hot, he went bogey, and then birdied four of the next seven holes, but then finished on the back nine with four or three bogeys. So Steve Stricker fell back to minus six total.
Well, everyone in contention just faltered tremendously. And I mean, it was the most painful part to me was not watching them play tee to green, but watching them on the greens. Nobody had those greens figured out.
No.
And they weren't.
Appleby. And KJ Choi, I think, three putted one of the first holes on Saturday and stuff.
Exactly. Everybody just did, and Tiger among them. You know, if Tiger had putted a normal 72 hole event, he'd have won it. But even he couldn't figure out those greens. And I think, you know, given the undulations on an old golf course like that, and that they were playing just a touch slower than U.S. Open speed, it was a speed and a slope with which they've never encountered.
Supposedly at Tiger's direction to help him prepare for the British Open, where the greens are a little bit slower. So be interesting to see if, you know.
That's very interesting to hear. I hadn't heard that before, but if that's true.
Yeah, some of the announcers said that.
Boy, we saw the results of it.
All right, so we'll talk about a few of the individual players here. Stuart Appleby, of course, led by, I think, two shots starting the day. His scorecard, not pretty, though. After a par, he doubled the par 3 second, parred again on the third, and then went bogey, 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 bogey. Finished up on the back nine with two bogeys that offset his only two birdies of the day. So not a great round for Stuart Appleby, who really hasn't closed things out. He's been near the lead several times this year and has not closed anything out.
Well, I think two things. I think, number one, he needs a haircut. Number two,
he looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a snarky comment. But there's something going on in his head that's not good, because he's pulled this stunt before, and there really isn't a reason for it. I mean, he had a comfortable lead. All he had to do was make par or the first, five, six holes, and that tournament was his to control.
How much do you think he cracked his driver on Saturday? He said it was still playable, but you're never sure if it's going to last one more shot or 100. So he got a replacement, and his driving was really not very solid on Sunday. That could be part of it, but he was pretty scatterbrained beyond that, just the driver. I mean,
I think it was more than a driver. I think it was a real mental issue, and I think it's something he's going to have to deal with in the future.
All right, Tiger. We've seen it. Go ahead.
I'm just saying we've seen it too often.
Tiger finishes tied for sixth, finishing up birdie-birdie, but that included a double bogey par five ninth. And like you said, if he had putted normally, he would have won. But if you think back, last year at the Masters, he didn't exactly putt well. Putting the past 2 years has been very streaky for Tiger, and that's not something we've said before. Even going back to Pinehurst in, 2005,
right.
He could have putted to win the U.S. Open for Michael Campbell. He putted a few of the last few greens and stuff. So Tiger's putting of late has been suspect.
It's been very suspect. And, I'm a real putting maven, and I really closely watch what he's up to, and I closely watch his stroke. I've never been a real fan of his particular style. It's changed over the years. When he was early on, he was very much a very aggressive putter who putted, I thought, on too hard or too fast a line. Later on, he changed and he began a little bit more of a dive putter. But I think we're seeing him now between styles, and
it's throwing off his line.
Exactly.
He's missing. I mean, he's burning all the edges, but that's all you need. If you read a putt to hit it a little firmer and you're going to miss lower. If you read a putt to die it in and you hit a little firmer, it's going to miss high. And that could be good. I hadn't thought of that, but I think you're about right, because we don't see him ramming putts in anymore. We see him dying the ball there or coming up literally a couple inches short or a roll or two short. And we never even see that.
Exactly. And we'll talk about this later in the podcast when we talk about Tom Watson. But over the years, you know, even between 20 and 30, even between 30 and 40, between 40 and 50, which I can speak to, your nerves, your perceptions change. And along the way, you've got to relearn to putt. Right. And I think he's right in the middle of something here.
That's a good observation. Phil had to observe the final rounds on TV because he missed the cut again. Did he come back too soon? Is he just mentally shot? What's up with Phil?
Well, I think actually, Eric, I think it's a combination of things, and maybe you'll agree with me, maybe you won't, but, you know, I think between the wrist and what that did to him mentally, you know, I don't expect a whole lot of Phil out of the rest of the year. I don't know about you. What do you think?
I think he usually packs it in around the, you know, I'm surprised he won the PGA Championship a few years ago, because it seems like once the British rolls around, Phil checks out. He's good in California and Arizona in that swing. He hung around a couple times to play semi-decent in some of the Florida events, of course, winning the Players' Championship this year, contending at Doral a few years ago. But once we hit July, Phil seems to check out. The British Open doesn't suit his style, and the PGA, really, he's never really been around there until he won the one a few years ago. So I don't think we'll see much out of Phil.
I don't either. I think this injury is more serious than, and it's just on the cusp of his disinterest in the season.
Right. And it could be a mental disinterest, too, a mental injury. I don't know that his wrist is actually bothering him. It may be a convenient excuse or a bit of a psychosomatic kind of thing.
Well, that his wrist was still wrapped, I think it's still bothering him. I think if he could have played without his wrist wrapped, that would have been another issue. But I think we can write him off for the rest of the year. I really do.
Jim Furyk, I'm starting to write him off. He's held the second-round lead, sometimes the third-round lead. He missed out on getting into a playoff with – no, he was in the playoff with Bernhard Langer, but failed to do anything there. He's been around a lot, like I said, midway through tournaments, and just is not closing things out. His first round scoring average, I think, is one of the best on tour, but his third round scoring average and his fourth round are pretty far down the list.
Well, he just broke my heart. You broke Carol's heart. Carol is a big fan of Jim Furyk because he's such a Steelers fan, and he's traditionally every week on my fantasy team. And he killed me again this weekend. I mean, come on.
And it's a combination of a lot of stuff. It's ball striking on Saturdays and Sundays. It's putting. It's a lot of stuff. It's not like any one thing is killing him.
Yeah, well, he putted. I thought, actually, Sunday, we watched him quite carefully since he was on my fantasy team. And he putted really quite well. And he just missed a whole bunch of putts. And you gotta give him some credit. I mean, if nothing else, for his consistency, because he's finished so high in so many events over the past few weeks. You know, I'm not writing him off yet. I'm not sure Carnoustie is to his taste or speaks to his talents, but you know, he's hanging in there. He's a real journeyman. I think he's sort of the Corey Pavin of our era, in that, you know, he just hangs in there. He's kind of like a bulldog kind of player. And even if he doesn't win, what did he finish, like third or fourth or
something like that?
You know, I mean, that's not too bad.
Not too bad, but not too great, considering he was in the lead going into the weekend and or right up there, and everyone else fell apart on Sunday to kind of let him jump back up.
This is true.
Quickly moving here to the U.S. Senior Open. Not too much to say here. I didn't watch much of it. I was mostly watching the Tigers tournament. But Tom Watson went into the day with a 3-shot lead. Falls apart with a final round 78, giving the tournament, it's the U.S. Open, so we always say someone gives it away. But Brad Bryant played well and dug one out of the dirt there for a U.S. Senior Open win.
Well, I'll tell you what. If anybody broke my heart this weekend, it was Tom Watson. I've been a fan of his since the 70s. My father was a great fan of his, you know, from that time.
I've always been a fan of him as a person. I mean, he speaks his mind and is usually right on.
He's very direct, and I had an opportunity to meet him and work with him some years ago. But the man, even when he beat Nicholas Turnberry back in 70, whatever that was.
77,
you know, he had a suspect putting stroke, and once he got into his 40s, it just went away. And just as I said before, you know, you've got to relearn to putt over and over and over again. And he didn't. And he's like the epitome of the yips to me, and it permeates his whole game because he knows he can't make anything under 10 feet.
Which changes his whole strategy. He goes, someone made the comment, I saw it, he goes for it out of the rough, whereas the old Watson would have pitched it out, hit it on the green to 15, 20 feet, and tried to make the par putt.
Precisely. And the old Watson isn't with us. The old Watson who won all the British Opens, won the Masters, won the U.S. Open. He's not there because he doesn't have the facility to putt anymore. And it's tragic to me, and it's very sad.
He'd be hard pressed to find a better ball striker, even at, what is he, 54 or so right now, consistently. I mean, for 40 years, I can't remember a shot that Tom Watson has not struck solidly.
Yeah, absolutely.
The senior PGA a couple years ago in Laurel Valley.
Shot for shot, you put Tom Watson up against Fred Funk and, you know, tee to green, you know, have some sort of a contest that measures accuracy from tee to green, and Watson will beat Funk every time. But the difference is Funk can still putt and Watson can't.
We still have more to say, of course, so stay tuned and we'll be right back after this message from Titleist.
Ones, twos, threes, and fours.
But mostly ones.
I never start with a two.
Ones and threes.
I never play higher than a four.
Low numbers.
I like ones.
Anything but ones.
Fours in the final round.
These ones on Thursdays.
Twos on Friday.
Threes on Saturdays.
And fours on Sundays.
Five, six, seven, or eight.
Whatever my caddy hands me.
Threes. Anything but a three.
Nines.
Any number.
Any number. Any number. As long as it's Titleist.
Whatever the number, more players trust Titleist than all other golf balls combined.
Welcome back. This week's topic of the week is about playing through. Do you do it? Do you let other people play through?
This was started by a kid I know. I often find myself in the position of playing through people because I'm often playing, you know, by myself, sometimes in a twosome or a threesome. I rarely have a foursome, but it's always, you know, a single technically has no standing on the golf course simply because matches are given more importance than a single guy who can't be playing a match against anybody. Of course, rarely these days are people playing matches. That's kind of a quaint old thing where people actually played against each other in some kind of match play or a NASA or whatever. There may be betting, but it's not really a match per se. So common sense is, you know, if there's room for someone to go through you and they're behind you and they're faster than you, let them through. If there's no room, I'm of the opinion that it makes no sense to let them through. If I'm a single and there's five foursomes ahead of me, I don't expect to play through. I'll just use the time to chip and putt or something.
Well, I agree. And, you know, I'll say one thing about this subject, that there's been a little loss of etiquette here, or that people aren't cognizant of the people behind them.
Right. You know, I never asked to be let through. So it's rather annoying when I'm a single playing behind a foursome and there's nobody in front of them.
Precisely. I've never asked to be let through in I don't know how many years of playing golf. Many decades. But at the same time, I'm cognizant of when I'm in a group that's holding up, maybe a twosome behind me, or even a single behind me. You know, and if I'm feeling pressed and the situation is right, I always say, well, hey, you know, on the next par three, let's let this guy through and let these two guys through, you know. But on the other hand, you know, it's kind of a loss of etiquette that I don't see more people thinking that way.
It's a loss of common sense as well, I think. Common sense ain't so common anymore, I'm finding.
No.
And I'm not even that old.
Well, I'm old, and I ascribe it to the sense of entitlement. We had a situation this week, the last time I played out at my club, a semi-private club, during the July 4th weekend, where it was packed with vacation golfers, and they all had, you know, and a ranger came up to me and he told me a story. You know, nobody wants to move along. They're all telling me they paid their money and they're going to play their game and blah, blah, blah. And it's all, it's more a sense of entitlement rather a sense of etiquette. And that's too bad.
Sad state of affairs, but we'll be back to talk about things that are hopefully less depressing than that right after this.
I'm working on shortening my swing.
Ball position and alignment.
Not thinking too much.
My first major.
My next one.
Working on getting back on top.
Staying positive after every shot.
Making more putts.
Going lower.
Lower. Even lower.
Finding my caddy.
Just trying to get better every day.
Even the world's best want to be better. That's why there's the new Pro V1 and Pro V1X.
And welcome back. Three Tiger stories kind of to wrap up this week. Somewhat appropriate given that Tiger's tournament was just completed this week. But first off, we have Phil Mickelson gave Tiger Woods' daughter, Sam Alexis, a miniature ping pong table. The two have had some spirited matches at Ryder Cups and President's Cups. Nobody's said who's won. I guess we can assume it's pretty close. Phil kind of sucking up already, getting a little jab in about how his kids have a head start on Sam Alexis. But
Well, you know, nobody's talked about the outcome, but I remember a couple years ago reading that, you know, Tiger beat him. And Phil just, you know, never let that rest. And maybe since then he has beat him. I don't know. They're both, you know, when you talk about eye-hand coordination,
I heard that Phil was getting beat all the time, but then he went to a two-paddle approach.
Well, you know, I can picture him being
aggressive. You know, one hit top spins, the other was good for a little cut.
Well, I'll believe that. You know, they're both so competitive. I thought it was a cute gift.
Tiger Woods' caddy, of course, Steve Williams, denies rumors that he's quitting at the end of the year.
Well, you know,
that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. Well, I think he's an oaf, but I also think he's not so stupid as to kill the goose that laid the golden egg.
It's like, I'm making $10 million a year. I quit.
Yeah, right.
For walking around carrying some clips.
He'll be on that.
Sucks, I'm done.
He'll be on that Buick Enclave GMC, whatever bag it is next year.
And the final news here, early in the week of the AT&T National, Tiger Woods revealed that Ewan, his wife, went into the hospital on Thursday with a minor complication to her pregnancy. So she was actually in the hospital the entire time he was competing in the U.S. Open. The doctor told him, hey, there's nothing you can do. She said, hey, go get a W. We'll see you when the tournament's over. Tiger took some flack from a few people I saw that said, what kind of father are you? What kind of husband are you? If your wife's in the hospital, you go. You know, I'm of the opinion that this is something that every family needs to decide. We don't know what the minor complication was. I mean, it could have been seriously very minor. It could have been borderline minor major. I think if your wife says go and your doctor says go, then, you know.
Eric, how lucky are you and I that the entire world is not second-guessing our seriously, every personal yeah. decision.
It's a personal decision, and we don't know all the facts, so I think it's kind of silly. That
I think it's tremendously silly. It's between them. They made the decision that they made it together. It's the right one. We don't need to talk about it.
Okay. Well, that about does it for episode 64 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. You can check out links to all the articles we've referenced and talked about this week in our show notes on the website, of course. Check out our forum at thesandtrap.com/forum. For Jack Waddell, this is Eric Brzezinski saying, "Ted him down the pipe, baby."
Good night.